Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Parashat Chaye Sarah. This week's parasha has always struck me as the most symmetrical parasha in the Torah. It opens with the death of Sarah Imenu and Abraham's subsequent purchase of Ma'arat HaMachpelah in Hebron as a burial plot. The centerpiece of the parasha, which includes most of its narrative, revolves around the search for a wife for Yitzchak, and the parasha concludes as Abraham's life draws to a close. The deaths of his parents form a frame around the marriage of Yitzchak, which ensures the continuity of their vision. The parasha opens with an awkwardly constructed pasuk that demands explanation. The years that Sarah lived were 100 years and 20 years and 7 years, the years of the life of Sarah. Rashi interprets midrashically that Sarah was at age 100 as innocent as she has been at 20, and at 20 was as beautiful as a 7-year-old. Her righteousness was consistent throughout all the days of her life. The Midrash adds, Rabbi Akiva asked his students why Esther merited to rule over 127 provinces, and answered that she gained a province for each year of Sarah's life, which had been lived to its full potential, not a single moment wasted. A life well lived can resonate far into the future. The Midrash discusses the juxtaposition between Akedah Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, which took place at the end of the previous parasha, and the death of Sarah Imenu, offering two explanations for the connection. First, in keeping with the principle of Vizarach HaShemesh Uva HaShemesh, the sun rises and then the sun sets, implying that before the sun sets upon the life of a leader of the Jewish people, it rises upon the life of his or her successor. Thus, while the last major event of Parashat Vayera was the Akedah, the concluding psukim inform us that as Abraham was returning from Har HaMoriah to Hebron, a messenger arrived to tell him that a daughter, Rivka, had been born to his nephew Betuel in Haran. Now that the son of Rivka has begun to shine, the son of Sarah could set. Secondly, the Midrash connects the death of Sarah to the Akedah itself, suggesting that Sarah died upon being made aware of the events of Akedah Yitzchak. There are variations in the Midrash as to the identity of her informer. According to many versions, the Satan appeared to her, and if you'll excuse the contemporary image, essentially showed her a live stream of what was happening on Har HaMoriah. And when she saw Abraham's hand holding the knife stretched out over Yitzchak's neck, parcha nishmata, her soul departed from her body. In other versions, Yitzchak himself was able to reach her through prophetic channels, and he was the one who made her aware of what was happening. In either case, we must ask the question. We learned that Sarah's prophecy was even stronger than that of Abraham Avinu. Would a woman so spiritually elevated really have died of shock at the thought of her son being offered to Hashem, if that is what Hashem had asked of her? We spoke of Abraham and Sarah sharing a covenantal relationship. Was Sarah less committed to the covenant than Abraham? Chas v'chalila. According to one explanation, Sarah already knew prophetically that Hashem was testing Abraham through the commands of the Akedah, and knew that it was just that, a test of his willingness, not meant to be carried out. When she saw his midah of zrizut, his eagerness, she became struck with such anxiety that in his zeal to perform the will of Hashem, Abraham would actually violate that very will and actually execute his son. And in that moment, her soul was overcome with fear and she died. A second explanation, one I have always, I guess, preferred because I feel that it's truer to Sarah's character and to the role of Yitzchak in this drama, is offered by the Chatam Sofer. Sarah was wholeheartedly committed to the education of Yitzchak to be Abraham's spiritual heir, raising him to serve Hashem unconditionally and exclusively. Thus, when she saw that Yitzchak, who is 37 years old at the time of the Akedah and fully capable of resisting his father's efforts to bind him on the Mizbeach, but rather he willingly offered himself in complete submission to Hashem's will, So Sarah realized that her mission in life had been completed, and her soul departed. The expression parchat nishmata implies a peaceful death, mita b'nishika, a death with which tzaddikim are rewarded. While we know relatively little of Yitzchak from the text in terms of his life story compared to Abraham and Yaakov, this moment tells us volumes of his dedication and commitment to the service of Hashem. While the midah most closely associated with Abraham is chesed, Yitzchak's dominant midah is gvura. Abraham excelled in serving Hashem through ahava. Yitzchak excels at yirah, awe, reverence. Abraham served Hashem through love, Yitzchak through reverence. That's why the text states, "V'ha'elokim nisait Abraham." Hashem tested Abraham and not Yitzchak. For Abraham, it was a test. Would he serve Hashem in a way that was contrary to his nature? But for Yitzchak, this was not a test. The steadfast resolve to serve Hashem no matter what was both natural to him and had been reinforced by his education under his parents' tutelage. And just as we are seeing the paradigm of Abraham and Yitzchak being realized daily as parents send their sons off to war, so too we witness the same phenomenon of young men following in the footsteps of Yitzchak, living and dying, Rachmana Litzlan, with the resolve and commitment of Yitzchak Avinu. So profound was the sense of Sarah's mission having been fulfilled in having raised such a child, that when Abraham returned from Har HaMoriah and found that she had returned her soul to her creator, the Pasuk states, Vayavo Abraham lispod l'Sarah v'livkota. Abraham came to eulogize Sarah and to cry over her. The chaf of livkota is reduced in size to indicate that he cried, but minimally, for his own sense of loss, but not over her life, because he knew that her life had been fully lived and her goal fully realized. Having purchased Me'arat HaMachpelah at full price from Ephron HaChiti, Abraham buried Sarah and the property rights to the field of Machpelah were transferred to Abraham in perpetuity. Abraham now realized that he himself was aging and Yitzchak, nearly 40 years of age, remained unmarried. He took steps to ensure his legacy, asking his servant Eliezer to swear that he would not take a wife for Yitzchak from among the daughters of Canaan, rather travel to Abraham's birthplace and find a wife for him there, one who would be willing to leave her family and travel to Canaan to marry Yitzchak, for under no circumstances was Yitzchak to leave the land which had been promised to him. Eliezer traveled to Haran, stopping at the well near the entrance to the city, where he asked Hashem for a sign that would designate the girl who was the right wife for Yitzchak. She who would offer water to the camels, as well as to Eliezer, would be the one. One who demonstrated the midah of boundless chesed that characterized the household of Abraham would be the right wife for Yitzchak ben Abraham. As he finished speaking, Rivka, the daughter of Abraham's nephew Betuel, came out to fill her pitcher with water. And just as Eliezer had requested of Hashem, she offered water to his camels as well as to himself, returning to the well time after time to refill her pitcher until everyone's thirst was quenched. Eliezer bestowed upon her the gift sent by Abraham for his son's future wife. The text places this verse even before Eliezer's inquiry as to her identity. Most of the literal commentaries explain that he merely took the jewels out in preparation and only gave them to her upon presenting herself as the daughter of Betuel, which kind of sealed the deal. But Rashi explains midrashically that he was so certain that Abraham's merit would result in his success that he presented her with the jewels even before he knew for certain who she was. Rivka offered Eliezer hospitality, seconded by her brother, Lavan, who upon seeing the jewels that had been given to his sister, ran out to reinforce the invitation, and Eliezer accepted. Upon entering their home, Eliezer insisted on immediately giving a full account of his mission and all that had happened to him, even before partaking of any refreshment. The Torah records Eliezer's speech in great detail, even though its contents are already known to us, a striking departure from the Torah's usual reticent style. Chazal derived from here the teaching that, Yafe sichatan shel avdei avot mitoratan shel banim. the conversation of the servants of the Avot is more precious than the Torah of their descendants. While the Torah records the entire speech of Eliezer, many details of mitzvot are only hinted at. The Chafetz Chaim points out that this story demonstrates how much importance the Torah attaches to the power of speech. Eliezer's every word, uttered with care and wisdom, demonstrated his absolute loyalty to Abraham and his teachings. Eliezer modeled for us the degree to which we must respect and obey our teachers and role models. Setting a legal precedent, Rivka was asked whether she agreed to leave her home and travel to Canaan to marry Yitzchak. Rivka consented to leave her father's house, accompanied by her nursemaid, Dvorah, who is granted special recognition in the Torah as one who raised Rivka to be a tzaddiket, even in the home of people such as Betuel and Lavan, who were the opposite. As Eliezer and Rivka approached the Negev, the Pasuk tells us that Yitzchak went out into the field. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnot arev. He went out to the field lasuach as evening approached. Lasuach is an unusual word, translated literally as to converse. Like in modern Hebrew, sicha is a conversation. Chazal translate this as a lashon tefillah, indicating prayer, and teach us that Yitzchak initiated the tefillah of mincha, the afternoon prayer. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch relates the root of the verb lasuach to the noun siach, meaning a bush. He explains that this expresses the inner growth of spirit and feelings, steeping one's inner self with thoughts and feelings of purity and integrity. Rav Soloveitchik taught that Yitzchak's attitude in prayer is a further reflection of his midah of gvura, with which we saw demonstrated at the Akedah. While Avraham, who was a paragon of chesed and consistently prayed for others, in which type of prayer one stands bright before God, making a demand of him that he help others. Yitzchak, on the other hand, personifies the pasuk in Tehillim, Tzfila la'ani ki ya'atof, vilifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho, a prayer for the afflicted when he is overwhelmed, who pours out his supplication before Hashem. Yitzchak's midah of gvura implies withdrawal, contraction, inward movement. Therefore, Yitzchak's stance was bent over in humility as he communed with Hashem. Thus, Rivka's first sight of Yitzchak was of a man immersed in holy contemplation, and in this spirit, Vatipol me'al hagamal, she fell from the camel, her posture reflecting his humility. Yitzchak brought her to Sarah's tent, took her as his wife, and loved her, and he was comforted for his mother. Yitzchak's love for his wife follows their marriage, not the other way around, Rav Hirsch points out. He brought her into his mother's tent, saw that she was a woman who shared his value system and embodied his mother's teachings and sense of mission, and he married her, finding comfort in knowing that his mother's legacy would be continued through his wife, and his love for her grew as they grew together. Avraham married a second wife named Keturah, whom the Midrash identifies as Hagar, renamed after having done complete tshuva. Avraham has another six sons whom he sends away with gifts in keeping with Sarah's vision that Yitzchak alone would inherit the land and Avraham's spiritual legacy. Avraham died at the age of 175 and was buried alongside Sarah in Me'arat HaMachpelah. The Pasuk states that Yitzchak and Yishmael buried Avraham. Rashi notes that Yitzchak, the younger son, is given precedence over Yishmael, indicating that Yishmael had done tshuva and subjugated himself to Yitzchak, accepting Yitzchak's supremacy over him as Avraham's successor. May we soon see the contemporary iteration of this precedent in keeping with the principle of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim. Thank you for learning together.